Let's look in our Bibles tonight at Luke chapter 22 once again. I have a thought on my heart tonight. Something caught my attention. On Sunday, we preached on the subject of competing desires. You remember over there in chapter 22, verse 15, where Jesus said, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. Then I want you to remember these words, before I suffer." Because that's kind of what we're going to look at tonight, that hour that's taking place here. And then we see where the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Every day of our life, there are competing desires in our life. The flesh, it'll be a good day when you learn this. Never has and never will desire the things of God. It's that inner man. Amen. And they're always competing. The desires of the flesh, the desires of this world, the desire of Satan to sift us as wheat is always competing with the desire that God has for us. And I thought this was interesting, Brother Don. I don't have it in front of me, but I think I can remember most of it. Three different Greek words used for the word desire. We're talking about the Savior. The first one was a longing. He had a longing to fellowship with those men. He has a longing to fellowship with you and I. And then the second one, it meant to set your heart upon it. God has set his heart on fellowshipping with his people. He had set his heart well before this time to eat the Passover with the disciples. But then when you get over there to Satan's desire, it means to demand. It goes back with that thought like in Job chapter number 1 when he came into the presence of God and demanded to have access to Job. Tonight, I'll tell you the text. We're going to be in different parts of the chapter, but if you'll look at verse 53 with me tonight, and then I'll go over and read a little bit later, verse 68 and verse 69. Jesus said, "When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me." This is the phrase that really grabbed my heart when I read this chapter again. "But this is your hour." Jesus told them, "This is your hour." And I want you to think about what's going on in our country today. It's as if God has said, "This is your hour." You think you've got it. And I'm telling you, beloved, there are some people that will never be satisfied till America is run plumb in the ground, till the family unit is completely destroyed, until everything that goes against God and the laws of even nature are exalted above the things of God. Jesus said, "This is your hour." And then he said this, "And the power of darkness." You remember where the Bible said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness and the spiritual wickedness in high places. And then go over to verse number 68 with me tonight. Jesus said, "And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go." And then he said, "Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." And what the Lord did in my heart was showed me that in the same hour, there were two powers at work. There's one hour he's getting ready to give his life for you and for me. But there's two powers at work at the same time. The power of darkness and the power of God. And I believe that ought to encourage you and I. If you're like me, sometimes we get out of balance. And we tend to dwell too much on what's going on in the power of darkness around us. But I want you to know something tonight. You say, well, Pastor, it don't look like it'll be long. We won't have any currency. Amen. What's that tell us? Honey, we're on the threshold. It don't look like it'll be long, Pastor. It'll be illegal to have a church. You think about what's going on in our neighbors to the north up in Canada right now. And it's a grace of God. We live in Tennessee. Charity and Bob's pastor came over here a couple weeks ago from North Carolina and went back home and told his church, said, them people's free over there in Tennessee. Thank God. Amen. Thank God for, I hope you've prayed for our governor. Amen. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, there's a governor in Florida. I hope, pray to God, he runs for president, don't you? I believe he's got more sense in his little finger than most of them got in their whole body. Amen. You say, preacher, you going to get political? No, I'm telling you, there's a power of darkness. There's people, beloved, listen to me, that's trying to destroy our country. Destroy our kids. They don't want our kids to know what America was really founded upon. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, tonight for loving us. Thank you, Lord, tonight for being willing to go through what you went through so that we could be forgiven, so that we could stand here tonight, Lord, not with just a hope only in this life, but, Lord, a hope that's eternal, a hope, our Father, that, Lord, our Savior will come and we'll get to see that glorious appearing of the blessed God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, tonight that you'll touch us as we look into the Scripture. Help us, Lord, tonight, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. I don't know, beloved, if you're paying attention. I believe most people are that love America and love the Lord. But I believe with all of my heart tonight that there are things that are happening and the stage is being set for the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, as we look in the Scripture, I want to talk about this one hour and these two powers that were at work at the same time. I want God to help us tonight to realize that it doesn't matter what generation you're living in. Beloved, listen, God is at work. Back yonder in the days of Joseph, when Joseph was thrown into that pit and sold into slavery, Joseph was falsely accused and thrown into the prison, there were two powers at work. There was a power trying to destroy the people of God. And yet God, in His providence, beloved, had Joseph right in the right place, right at the right time, to spare a whole nation so that there would be corn, there'd be something to eat in the years of famine. And I believe you and I ought to be looking at it like this tonight. We ought to lift our head up and realize God's got you right in the right place, right at the right time. Amen, to take a stand for His honor and for His glory. As I look at the two powers tonight, the power of darkness and the power of God, I see that Satan here is pouncing on Peter in the power of darkness. I don't know about you tonight. There have been a few days in my life when I felt like he was pouncing on me, when he had his claws dug in. Amen. He was trying to, beloved, get me to turn my eyes not toward Jesus, but away from Jesus. Trying to get me to convince that he didn't have any idea what I was going through or what I was feeling or what I was experiencing. Beloved, I tell you, if he can convince you that God doesn't care, he's winning the battle. If he can convince you, like he did Adam and Eve in the garden, that God's holding out on you, he's winning the battle. If he can convince you that what God has said in his word is not really true, he's winning the battle. And beloved, he pounces on Peter. He said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Peter was a strong man. I believe he was strong physically. You didn't do what Peter did for a living. And as a professional fisherman, without having some endurance and without having some strength. But I tell you, beloved, there come a day when Peter had just a little bit too much confidence in Peter and not enough confidence in the Savior. He told God, he told the Lord, he said, I'll go with you. I'm ready to go with thee, even into the prison and to death. And I tell you, it ends up, beloved, he don't even go with him to the hall when he's accused. He's walking afar off in the same hour. The power of darkness and the power of God is at work. You say, Pastor, where do you see the power of God as Peter is being pounced on by Satan? I tell you, while Satan is pouncing on Peter, thank God Almighty, Jesus is praying for him. He said, I have prayed for thee. I'm telling you, beloved, tonight, listen to me. You and I ought to look around. We ought to see somebody that's discouraged. We ought to see somebody that's depressed. See somebody that's despondent. And while the power of darkness, beloved, is trying its best to work its way into that home and into that heart, and beloved, many churches, into the house of God, you and I ought to be praying, amen. And you and I, when we're going through it, ought to realize that sitting at the right hand of God the Father is a Savior that's making intercession for you and making intercession for me. It's a blessing tonight to know that. Just to stop and think. It melts my heart when I get down a little bit to know there's somebody on the other side. Listen, you say, Pastor, don't you have to tell him your heart? Well, I do, but I don't have to because he knows it before I open my mouth. And I'll tell you this, he knows what we need even before we ask. But he said to ask and you shall receive. I'm praying that in America, listen, in this hour that we live in, I believe the Lord's saying this is your hour. I tell you, beloved, listen to me. Politically speaking, the pendulum has a tendency to swing. And buddy, it's swung all the way over right now. Let's get rid of the police, amen. Let's defund the police. I tell you what I wish. I wish they'd defund the Congress, amen. Get some volunteers to go to Washington. Take the money out of it. Somebody loves the country and loves the people. Amen. See how that goes for a little while. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, the same ones that's hollering to defund the police, they've got guards all around them, guns all around them to protect them. When is America going to wake up and realize, beloved, listen, we're being sold a bill of goods. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, the power of darkness and the power of God are at work in this chapter. Jesus said, but I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. I was looking at this afternoon. I'll move on in the message tonight. But I was just wondering, Brother Larry, where would I be had he not prayed for me? Where would I be tonight had the Lord not prayed? You say, preacher, you really believe he prays for you? I know he does. I've read John chapter 17. He told him when he was praying to the Father, he said, Father, I pray not for these alone, but for all them who through thee shall believe. Make an intercession for you. When the Word of God says, sometimes I can't quote it. Turn with me to Romans. I believe it's in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, God, let me put my finger right on it, or my thumb. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I honestly believe that some of the best praying we've ever done in our lives is when we can't get a word out, when our hearts are broken, and when we're totally... Listen, the flesh is out of the picture. We know we can't depend on the flesh. There's nothing there to hold us up. And we go to the Lord, amen, and depend on Him. Thank the Lord tonight. There's one hour, but there's two powers.
I see not only the Satan pouncing on Peter in the power of darkness and the Savior praying for Peter in the power of God, but I see the sword chopping off the ear of the servant of the high priest in the power of darkness. Beloved, listen to me tonight. What America needs, listen to me carefully. I'm pro-Second Amendment from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. But what America needs is not more guns and not more bullets. America needs more God. That's what we need, beloved. Listen, amen. That's where we're lacking, amen. My people, they're being destroyed for a lack of knowledge, amen. They don't know the Word of God, and many know the Word of God and don't know the God of the Word. I'm telling you, if you know the God of the Word, beloved, you don't want to take another's life. You don't want to rob and steal this generation. Listen to me, just in the last few days, trying to make a hero out of a guy, listen to me, beloved, that's robbed people, amen, that's been a drug addict. I'm not putting him down, amen. I wouldn't have got it. He'd been saved by the grace of God. He didn't sacrifice his life, beloved, listen, anything except to sin and Satan. And yet we live in a generation that wants to make a hero. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, where's Jesus? That's the hero. Where's the people that say he's the one that died? He didn't, beloved, have his life taken from him. He laid his life down for you and for me. The sword is chopping off the ear of the high priest. We don't need more swords. We need the sword of the Spirit. We need the Word of God. In the power of darkness, you see the sword chopping off the ear of the high priest's servant. But in the power of God, oh, glory to God, I thought about this. How'd you like to be that feller? He's on the wrong side of the issues right here. He's on the side of the high priest. How'd you like to be that feller? That, beloved, there goes your ear. It falls off. And the Son of God goes like that, and it's back on. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say I believe he probably had some second thoughts along the way. Had he ever seen anybody else put an ear back on? No, sir. Amen. And I believe, listen, it's possible. I don't know, but it's possible that maybe the power of God won out in his life before it was over with. It did in the life of Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, amen. But Jesus had that conversation with him, and I believe Nicodemus was born again, born from above. I have no idea why he'd be interested in the body of Jesus had he not been, amen, and helping with that. And so, in the power of God, you see the Savior destroying what man, or restoring what mankind is destroying. 1 hour right here before Jesus goes to Calvary, but there's two powers at work. Let me give you this tonight. When you go into the garden, the Bible said in verse number 39, and he came out and went as he was wont. I don't know how many times I've read this scripture, and I never caught it. I feel about that tall sometimes, Brother Don. I read my Bible and say, why in the world didn't you see that? And you know what? It was really a blessing. I thought I knew what it meant, and I went and looked it up, and it meant what I thought it meant. That don't happen very often, amen. You know what that means right there, as he was one? That means it was his habit. That means it was his custom. Brother Steve, he didn't wait to go into the garden until this hour right here, until there was, it's not a spare tire relationship between Jesus and the Heavenly Father, amen. When the Word of God's talking about him going into the garden right here, he had been there many times. He had had many conversations. God had given him direction many times as he went to the garden alone to meet with God, as he was wont. It was his habit. It was his custom. He went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. You'll find times in the Scripture when he was there all night. You'll find times in the Scripture when he was there very early in the morning. He had to do that so his cell phone wouldn't ring while he was out there. Say amen. You know what I'm talking about, beloved. He enjoyed that time. That's why, beloved, you're going to see not only the power of darkness while he's in the garden, but you're going to see the power of God while he's in the garden. Watch this now. The Bible said, and he was at the place. He said unto them, there it is again, the place. You see that? It was a particular place. I remember when I went to Israel years ago, my wife, she showed me a picture of the passport, Brother Don, when I went. Golly, that was a young fella. I tell you, what's the truth? I mean, listen, there was color in his hair. Amen. And not quite as many crows had landed on his face and left their crow's feet. Amen. But I tell you, I went to Israel, and there was two places that really blessed my heart. One was the Garden of Gethsemane. As we walked through there, the guide was telling us about some of these olive trees that were over 2,000 years old. That blessed me. Realizing, Brother Ralph, as I walked under that tree, this might have been one. It could have been the place where the Son of God knelt and prayed this prayer that we're fixing to read. I believe the other place was the Sea of Galilee. I didn't know it. If they told us, I didn't catch it. But you weren't supposed to leave the motel by yourself. But I woke up about 4 o'clock one morning, and I went out and walked the Sea of Galilee. Not on it, beside of it. Amen. The shore, that's what I'm talking about. And I had a time realizing that my feet might be being planted exactly where the Son of God had walked, amen. You say, Pastor, that blessed your heart. Oh, yes, it did, amen. It's a blessing, amen, to know there's a place where this has taken place in the garden. The Word of God said this, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou wilt, thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. Beloved, listen, it'll be a happy day in your life when you learn the word, nevertheless. You can go into God's throne room and you can ask him whatever's on your heart. But I tell you, always try to remember that word, nevertheless. God, you know better than I know. Lord, give me the grace, amen, to know your will and to do your will. And the word of God said here, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. I know that God strengthened me just this day. I appreciate it when the Lord gives us strength. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping. Another thing I hadn't caught, for sorrow. Only thing I'd ever thought about when I studied this is those sorry men. Jesus asked them to pray 1 hour, and they couldn't do it. Amen. But the Word of God said they were sleeping, and it said for sorrow. It seems to me that Jesus, when he said over there in the upper room, before I suffer, it seems to me that it's settling in on them a little bit. That you remember they didn't want him to go to Jerusalem. They knew his life was in danger if he went to Jerusalem. They knew there was a bunch that was wanting to kill him, amen? And I believe with all of my heart when it says they were sleeping for sorrow, it could be, listen to me, have you ever been so heartbroken or so burdened about something that it just wore you out? I know this, don't matter who you are, the Spirit indeed is willing. You better learn this flesh is weak. We better not throw stones at these men. How many times have you went to pray and went to sleep? How many times have you went to read your Bible? It's amazing to me. You can pay attention for 3 solid hours watching a ball game, but I tell you, you get 30 minutes in the Word of God, you're doing good. Am I right or am I wrong? We've got this flesh. You see the power of darkness. The saints are sleeping in the hour of prayer. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I'm not being critical, but I believe one of the reasons we're in the shape we're in America, most of God's people are asleep. Beloved, listen. Brother Larry mentioned it on Sunday night. I believe, listen, what's going on in the cities coming to the country and what's going on in somebody else's family be to your family directly. Amen. We need to wake up. The Bible said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And Paul told the church at Corinth, I speak this to your shame. What a shame if we keep the gospel to ourselves. What a shame if we do not share it with those that are in need, those that are lost. The Bible said when he rose up from prayer, was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. In verse number 15, the Word of God said, I desire to eat this Passover before I suffer. In verse number 33, the Word of God said, and he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. That tells me, Brother Steve, that Peter understood where Jesus was headed. I'll go with you to prison if they lock you up, and if they kill you, I'll go with you there too, all the way to death. And then if you look at verse number 37, the Word of God said there, for I say that is written must be yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors for the things concerning me. Look at these three little words. Have an end. I believe Jesus is telling them, boys, this is it. Amen. He's already told them in John, over there in John, I'm going to leave you. If I don't go away, the Comforter's not going to come. But I'm going to send another Comforter. And I know that there's some things that they don't understand. They certainly didn't understand the resurrection. But I believe there's some things here that's beginning to sink in on them, and their hearts are heavy, and they're sleeping in the hour of prayer. While the saints are sleeping in the power of darkness, beloved, listen, the Savior is submitting in the power of God. Aren't you glad tonight that, listen, Jesus did not look forward to his Father turning his back on him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You can say whatever you want to, but Jesus didn't look forward to that. They had never been apart. Oh, you say, preacher, Jesus was on the earth and the Father was in heaven. I said they had never been apart. Beloved, listen, the Word of God said, Jesus said, I do always those things which please the Father. What a blessing, amen, that he's headed to Calvary now. And he says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I tell you, sometimes we think we know what's best, but God, he always knows what's best. We're living in 1 hour today, but I believe there are two powers at work. I hope and pray tonight that you'll get this out of the message if you get nothing else. Let's yield our lives to the power of God. Let's resist the devil. The Word of God said he'll flee from you. Submit yourself to God first, then resist the devil. He'll flee from you. I believe with all my heart. There's a text I need to read. I think it's in Corinthians. Oh, goodness. Let me think here for just a moment. I can't even get started on it tonight. The text is concerning, no, I believe it's in Romans. Let me go back here just a minute. Okay, here it is. I thank the Lord when he helps me, amen. That's why I only use one Bible. Hey, I know where it's at on the page sometimes when I have no idea what the address is. Amen. I believe I can find my way home if I forget my address. Amen. Listen to what the Word of God said. This is good. This goes right with the message. Verse 11 of chapter 13, book of Romans. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. There's not a person in this building tonight that's saved by the grace of God that can't read that verse and it be true. Our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Amen. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, February the 22nd, 1987, a 27-year-old young man, and I'm nearer home now than I've ever been. It was what the Bible said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Oh yes, there's a power of darkness. Hallelujah, the power of God, that day is at hand. Watch it now. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Boy, look at this. Not in rioting. Hello, America. Not in drunkenness. Not in chambering. Not in wantonness. Not in strife and envying. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What I wanted you to see there, there's something before resisting the devil. That's submitting to God. There's something before victory over the flesh. That's putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, you and I alone are no match for Slewfoot. Even Michael the archangel durst not bring a railing accusation against him. But he said, the Lord rebuke thee. Thank God we have a Savior tonight. Beloved, tonight, the saints are sleeping in the hour of prayer while the Savior is submitting in the garden to his Father. There's a couple more things I see tonight. In the power of darkness, the Savior is betrayed by a kiss. This looks terrible. Judas has come to him, and Jesus told him later, what you do, what thou doest, do quickly. And they thought he was talking about maybe doing something for the poor. He had the bag. He had the money. No, the Lord knew exactly. Beloved, listen, the Lord knew before he ever set foot on earth exactly who, exactly when. You say, Pastor, what do you see in that, in the power of God? Listen to me carefully. The Scripture is being fulfilled. Listen to me tonight. You can find hope in this tonight if you'll just realize what we're seeing in the world today. The Scripture is being fulfilled. Listen to me. They've already said they've got this little chip. I believe the fellow's name's Elon Musk. I don't know much about Elon, but they've got a chip now. This is what they're saying, that you can have it buried in your skin somewhere, and that chip will tell you when you've got COVID. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with anything? Honey, I'm telling you, the mark is easier today than it ever has been. I'm telling you, beloved, there's people that's wanting this, you to be able to show your vaccine card before you go on a plane, before you go into a place of business, before you buy this or before you buy that or before you sell this or before you sell that. I'm telling you, the stage is being set. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. I believe that, don't you? They've got chips now they can put in your dog. They'd rather know where your dog is and where your children is anyway. Say amen. That's the truth. You'll get in more trouble over killing a dog than you will a baby. We're upside down. 1 hour, but there's two powers, the power of darkness and the power of God. I'll give you this tonight. Listen. I don't take any pleasure in this tonight, but it's a truth that's being taught right here in the Word of God. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 63. And the men that held Jesus mocked him. Have you ever been mocked? Brother Don, I don't know if it's ever happened to you. I've been mocked while I was preaching. Has that ever happened to you? Boy, there's a part of a preacher that wants to, I'll mock you. We can't do that, can we, Brother Don? We got to pray for him. Listen to me. The last thing the Lord showed me here, and I want to give it to you out of this chapter. And the men that held Jesus mocked him, and they smote him. When they had blindfolded him, They struck him on the face. One of the most humiliating things I've ever been through in my life. I didn't intend to tell this story tonight, but I'm telling you, it was humiliating. I was in high school. I was kind of sweet on a little girl, and it wasn't Miss Eve at the time. I gave up not much for the best. But listen to me. I was sweet on this little girl, and this fellow walking home from school one day, her sister, they weren't together. But I mean, if you want to make points, you've got to take up for a sister. Her sister had long red hair, and this fella was throwing cuckleburrs. Y'all know what a cuckleburr is? He had him a handful of cuckleburrs, and he was throwing them in her hair. Just throwing them in her hair. The fellow's name was Jeff. I said, Jeff, stop that. And he wouldn't stop it. He just kept on. And he was real clumsy. And I pushed him. And he fell. He was acting like, never mind. He wasn't trying to get on a plane. Let me say it like that. But he fell in a mud hole. He fell in a mud hole. Well, I didn't know it. I'm talking a year, year and a half had went by. And that boy was festering the whole time. He had a big brother. I was walking home from a football game one night. In the dark, you could walk to the school from where I was at. And all of a sudden, this boy popped up right in front of me in the dark. That's not bad. I'll tell you what's bad. When he says, you and I are going to settle this. And you go like this. And you're surrounded. And so I backed up a little bit. I'm doing all right still. Me and him's going to settle it. And his brother standing behind me said, if you do whoop him, I'm next. And the fellow standing behind him said, and I'll be after that. And I got distracted just enough till that boy kicked me in a place that would put any man on his knees. I was bowed up like a baby in the middle of a circle of people. Absolutely humiliated. Have you ever been humiliated in your life? You say, Pastor, I wouldn't have told that. I didn't plan on it. I believe the Spirit of God let me feel just a little bit just now. I didn't do it voluntarily, Brother Steve. I would have walked 10 miles to get out of that night. What Jesus is going through here is voluntarily. They've got him blindfolded. And they're smacking him on the face. Maybe punching him. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. Prophesy! And I tell you, before the world was ever spoken into existence, Jesus knew who these men would be. And he took it. He was humiliated. But in his humiliation, he brought you and I eternal salvation. The Word of God is teaching us here that the sinners are mocking him. In other places, they're going to spit on him. They're going to crown him with thorns. They're going to scourge him. They're going to drive nails in his hands and in his feet. I say all of that in 15 seconds. And it would take a lifetime to really describe what took place. When all of his bones hanging on the cross was staring at him. All of his joints were out of place. Not a bone of him was broken. And he did it all willingly. As the crowds mocked him. As they gambled for his garments. As they walked by and shook their heads, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. You say, Pastor, that's in the power of darkness. Sinners are mocking the Savior. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 1, and I'm done. I'm going to show you what's going to happen in the power of God. In the power of darkness, sinners are mocking the Son of God. They're mocking the Savior. I remember the first time when I really come to grips with what's being said in these verses. In Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 22, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. I promise you this. That's a side of God that not many Christians even know anything about. They want to hear about His mercy, and I do too. His love and His grace. But there's a God in heaven, beloved, that will have them in derision. He will laugh. He will mock. They think they're mocking Him, and they are in the power of darkness. But in the power of God, it won't be the last laugh. The Bible said in verse 27, when your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. It's too late. They seek me early. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. I'm glad I heard him, and I'm glad I hearkened. I'm glad Brother Rose went softly and tenderly. Jesus was calling. God, give me enough grace to say, here, my Lord, save me. The Word of God said, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. In this chapter, Luke 22, which is 1 hour, but there's two powers at work. And we're living in, I believe, the midnight hour. There are definitely two powers at work. I love the verses like, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I've read the last book, read the last chapter, read the last verse. I know who wins. But I'll tell you something right now. Even though God's people win the war, sometimes we lose the battle because we're not. That's what was going on, Brother Larry, in Jeremiah's life. He won the war, but sometimes you lose the battle. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, God wants us to understand tonight. Don't get discouraged. Don't be defeated. There's two powers at work in our world right now. Now, I'm not talking about North Korea and China. I'm talking about good and evil. I'm talking about Satan and the Savior. Our Lord's not asleep. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He knows what's going on. He knows what we need. Everybody's glad you come tonight. Let's try our best. Amen. Keep our chin up. realize, amen, we're living in some exciting days. Just any day now, the songwriter said, our Lord is coming. I believe with all of my heart, we're living in exciting days. Let's take a stand for what's right. Take a stand on God's Word. Not compromise the truths that He's given us in His Word. Father, thank You tonight for the Word of God. Thank You for Your people. Thank You, Lord, for the sweet Holy Spirit. Lord, You've encouraged my heart this afternoon. Lord, I know tonight that You told them in that day, this is Your hour. Lord, I pray that some way or another, the pendulum of godliness would swing in our country. Lord, we were smitten on 9/11. For about 2 weeks, it seemed to be okay to pray. Everybody was encouraging folks to pray. Lord, You said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Lord, You also said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Help us, our Lord, to remember. Help Your churches, Lord, in America, the true churches that believe Jesus is the only way, that you must be born again. There is a heaven, there is a hell. Help those churches, Lord, not just to survive in these days. Help us to thrive for Your glory. We'll give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.